Without any further delay, I'm going to go ahead and invite our guest speaker for tonight. He is the esteemed Sheikh Ali Himani from India, and the topic is the system of Noor and the system versus, the system of Noor versus the system of Zulamat, with a loud and hearty salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani layin rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I request you all to recite a Surah Fatiha for Shaheed Qasim Soleimani, Shaheed Abu Mahdi Mohandas, and also for Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi, because in this last couple of weeks, these are the great personalities that we have lost. So please recite a Surah Fatiha for them. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أعوذ بالله من نفسي ومن الشيطان اللين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على سيدنا حبيبنا وطبيب قلوبنا أبو القاسم محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه قال الله تعالى في كتاب المبين الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجوهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياءهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. Please recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجها. If we look at the words that we've just recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to two systems here. One is the system of Noor and the other one is the system of Zulumat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum minaz zulumati ila nur. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that all those who have faith, all those who believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the guardian or is their guardian, and he takes them out from the system of Zulamat, he takes them out from Zulamat and takes them towards Noor. And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. So there's just two categories here. One is those who believe, and the other category is وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. So there's nothing like in between. There's nothing like, okay, I believe partially, and I do not believe partially, or that, okay, I understand Islam as a religion, I understand it, but I will take part of it and not follow part of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not segregate a third category here. He says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And he says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. So there's only آمَنُوا and كَفَرُوا. So only two categories. Then he says that for those who believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their guardian and takes them out from Zulamat and move them towards Noor. And the other category is those that the Taghut take them out from Noor and take them towards Zulamat. So essentially, they're just two categories. Those who believe and those who do not believe. And there are only two parts or two systems or two pathways, two sirat that are available for us. One is the sirat of Noor and the other one is the sirat of Zulumat. So there's no third category here. Either you have system of Noor or you have system of Zulumat. Now, this is very, very crucial for us to understand. Why? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very clear in Holy Quran. Wherever you look at, wherever there are verses which talks about being the one who are successful muflihun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly points out that they are part of a system. And those who are the losers, those who are going to lose, خِزْيٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, they are also a part of system. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly says, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْبِ, we've made it clear for them what is right and what is wrong, what is noor and what is zulumat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, only two systems in this whole creation. There is system of noor and there is system of zulumat. And there is no third category. Now, why is it that we need to understand that there is no third category? Why should we emphasize on this? Because we find it in our day-to-day life that there is always one category which says that, look, I'm going to stay back, I'm going to step aside, I'm going to act neutral, and I'm going to sit and watch, and then whichever party is winning, I'm going to take their side. Or I'm just going to play neutral, neither do I want to get involved with them, nor do I want to get involved with them. I don't want to be part of the conflict. Are you getting the point? I want to play neutral. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is nothing called neutral. Don't think that you are going to be on the fence and think that, you know, I'm playing neutral, so I'm not part of this and I'm not part of that, and on the day of Qiyamah, I will not be judged for them or them. I will be judged for being myself. No, that's not how it works with the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Holy Quran, if you look at the event of Sabbath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly defines here and explains it to us that the Jews were told not to fish on Saturdays, not to fish on Sundays. They said, Saturday, you're not fishing. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tested them by making the fish come to the shore on those particular days. So there was lots of fish on Saturday. Now, those who were part of the system of Noor, they said, this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to have patience. We need to be patient here. But those whose hearts had maral, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Holy Quran says that their heart has sickness, illness in it, they were like, okay, let's plan, let's strategize, let's do makr. What makr? Let's throw the net on Saturdays and pull them out on Sundays. So we're not fishing on Saturday, right? We're fishing on Sunday, right? So who are you trying to fool? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most wise and the most knowledgeable, the omniscient, you're trying to fool him? You're trying to play with the system and show that, okay, we are still part of system of Noor while I still continue doing my mischief, right? Again, pay attention to all these stories of Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, when he narrates a story, it's a lesson for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is narrating here that, can we reduce the echo? I think there's lots of echo happening. Is there echo in here? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, here is this category who's throwing the net on Saturday and they plan to fish on Sunday. Then you see all these Jews that existed, they get divided into three categories. Category one, that is throwing the net, who's actually fishing, who's breaking the rule. That's category one. And then there was the second category who was not fishing, not breaking the rule, but also doing Amr bi Ma'ruf and Nahi az Munkar. They went to these guys and said, what are you doing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited fishing on Saturdays. So why are you fishing? Don't fish. So you have one category doing Amr bi Ma'ruf, Nahi az Munkar, stopping people, not sitting silent, stopping the people. And then there's this other category which is fishing. But then there was this third category right in the middle which said, let me quote what we hear from the people. I'm not gonna go into his grave. I'm not going to get accounted on the day of Qiyamah for his deeds, right? In Urdu, they say, hum unki kabr mein thodi jane wale hai, right? So whatever they're doing, they're accountable for that. They themselves are accountable. It's nothing to do with me. I have no role in it. I'm going to just step aside and play a silent spectator. That means I'm going to play neutral. I'm not going to tell them not to fish. I myself will not fish, but I will not stop them from fishing either. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we cursed them and we sent azab on them. And when the azab was sent, it was very clear. What was clear? That there are no three categories. There's only two categories. The ones who did not fish and stopped the others from fishing, and the others, all of them together, were categorized into one group. The ones, those who were fishing, and the ones who played the silent spectator. That means there is only two categories. You can never play a neutral role. When it comes to Islam, when it comes to Iman, when it comes to following the system, there is only system of Noor and system of Zulamat. You cannot say, I am part of system of Noor and partly in the system of Zulamat. That's not going to happen. So when the azab was revealed, when the azab was sent down, all of those who were fishing and all of those who remained silent were put together and subjected to the azab. So there is nothing called staying on the fence. You have to pick your side. You have to pick your side. خَتَّبَيَّنَا الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْءِ. It's been made clear to you. So you have to pick your side. Either on this, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْزِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْزِ. Are you going to have faith in just part of the Quran and you're going to ignore the part of it? Meaning that do not think of Islam as a buffet dinner. It's not your buffet lunch that you walk in and you're like, okay, I like chicken, I'm going to pick that. I like KFC, I'm going to pick that. I don't like salad, so I'm going to leave that. And this is not okay with me. This is a slight, bitterish taste, so I'm not going to pick that. That's not how it works with Islam. Islam is a whole package. You got to pick the whole package. You can't say, I like this, I'm going to follow this, I'm going to do amal on this, and I don't like this, therefore I am not going to practice this. That's not how it works. Imagine, we have our children here, right? Imagine we put our child into a schooling system, right? So my son goes to X school. Then I go to the school and I tell them, look, I understand that you have classes for 6 days, every day 6 hours, and you have a particular uniform that the child has to wear it to the school, and you have particular subjects that the student must attend, particular classes, they have to do their tamareen, they have to do their exams, and when they qualify, they move on to the next class. However, I want my son to attend only 3 days in the week and only 4 hours a day, not 6 hours a day. And from all the tamarin that you give, he's going to do only 40%. And I'm sorry, no exams, please. What do you think the school is going to say? Say, fine, great. As long as you're paying the fees, we are okay with that. If they do that, then the school will be a chaos, because every parent will pick and choose their own convenient method for their son. Say, he'll come on Sunday, he'll not come on Monday. The other guy will say, he'll come on Monday, he'll not come on Tuesday. This guy will write exam, that guy will not write exam. This guy will come, that teacher should teach, this teacher should not teach. So it'll be utter chaos. So what does the school say? It says, look, you are free to choose any school. But the moment you choose our school, you have to follow all the rules and regulations. You cannot pick and choose. If you're so picky and choosy, go to another school. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. La ikraha fid deen. There is no compulsion in picking the religion. Pick anything you want. And you will see the circumstances and you will see the outcome of it. But if you pick Islam, then there is no free ride here. There is no buffet lunch or dinner here. It's a whole package. If you accept Islam, you have to follow the dress code. You have to follow the prayers. You have to follow the tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives every single individual, every single mu'min. You have to practice Islam completely. If you don't, then just like any other school who expel their children for not following, we will put you to the border of the religion. You will be standing on the circumference of the religion, not at the core center of the religion. Or the other method is punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will punish you. If you break the law and break the rules, we're going to punish you just like any other system. So we have a very clear system here. The system of Noor and the system of Zulma. There is nothing called third party. So if we think that I'm here and I look at the socio-political environment in the world and I see that, okay, here is the conflict happening. Here are one set of countries like America, UK, Britain, Israel and other countries who have taken a strong stance and they know what they're doing. And I know on the other side I have the other group which is standing against these countries, protecting the lives of Mu'mineen, defending the namus of Mu'mineen, and there I cannot say, look, I'm playing a neutral role. I'm not going to support them, and I'm not going to support them. I'm just going to sit and watch. I know they're wrong, I know they're right, but I don't want to participate. That's not how it works. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً قَتَلَتْكَ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً ظَلَمَتْكَ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً سَمِيَتْ بِذَلِكَ فَرْزِيَتْ بِهِ. For those who remain silent, there is la'nat. So I can't say that I'm playing a neutral role. I have to pick my sides and I have to be very clear. I see lots of young children here and some of you might be new to the Hausa system, but this is where your ideology and worldview is molded. This is where it takes a shape and a form. And you have to be clear right from the beginning that what side am I on? Am I on this side, the Zulumat, or am I on the Noor? If I'm on the Noor, I'm following the system of Noor, my ideology should match the system of Noor. My actions should match the system of Noor. My thinking should match the system of Noor. A lot of us claim to be following the system of Noor, but when you look at the life, the way we live our life, our way of living, we realize that it's only an empty, hollow claim that we are following the system of Noor. Let me give you an example here. How many of you have heard of this person called Adam Smith? Adam Smith is an economist. He has a very famous theory. He says unlimited wants and limited means. If I summarize his theory into one sentence, it's unlimited wants and limited means. What does that mean? It means that he says, look, every human being has a set of wants. And these wants are unsatiable. They're unlimited. You give him some, he wants more. You give him some more, he still wants more. You give him more, he wants more of more. He's never going to stop. So his wants are unlimited. But what about the means that are going to fulfill his wants? To what extent are the means available? He says, if you look at the world, the globe, the earth, you will see that there are only limited resources. Oil, only that much. Gold, only that much. Diamonds, only that much. So everything is in limited state. But the wants are unlimited. Therefore, whatever you gain, whatever you take, whatever you earn, you keep it for yourself. You don't have to share. Sorry, why is it that I should not share? Because if you share and tomorrow you have certain wants, how are you going to satisfy them? How are you going to satiate them? Because if you give away, your hands are empty. And look at the world around us. When we talk about successful people, we talk about those whose hands are full. Jeff Bezos, amazing, successful, millionaire. Elon Musk, the first trillionaire. My God, what kind of a successful person. X, wow, such great, money, such huge bank accounts, Warren Buffett, such mansions, such cars. So these are the successful people. Successful according to whom? Successful according to Adam Smith. He says unlimited wants and limited means. Whatever you have, take it, keep it. The more you gather, the more you keep, the more successful you are. That's Adam Smith. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. Then he goes on and says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They are the victorious ones. So what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? He's saying, there is no doubt that there is guidance in this book for the muttaqeen. Who are the muttaqeen? Those who have faith in ghayb, and those who establish prayers, and those who give from what we have given to them as risk. Those who do infaq, those who give the poor, they support, they take care of them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They are the successful ones. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you do infaq, when you give, you're successful. What is Adam Smith saying? When you don't give, you're successful. Can you see the conflict in the ideology, the worldview here? It's a 180 degree conflict. And it's very clear for us, what is system of noor and what is system of zulamat? Or Adam Smith is system of zulamat. Because there is no guidance in there. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you give, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ, they are upon the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is guidance in that. So infaq, guidance. Infaq, victory. Adam Smith says, don't do infaq, you're successful. Now, let's look at our own lives. And let's look at the lives of people around us who claim to be following the system of noor. How much infaq do they do? How much do they give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when I say that I am following the system of noor, am I following the worldview of Holy Quran? Or am I following the worldview of Adam Smith? And then there are some people who start questioning that, why is Iran supporting Lebanon? Why are they supporting Hezbollah? Why are they giving it to Palestine? Why are they giving it to Yemen? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُمْ. The risk that we gave you, you give to the others. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. They are upon the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What more evidence do we want? This is pure evidence from Holy Quran. And they are the victorious ones. So now we know where the victory lies. Only those who have not truly studied Holy Quran and understood will ask such questions. Else it's pretty clear. System of قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْبِ. We've made it very clear. System of noor and system of zulama. Let me give you another example. How many of you heard of this person called Professor John Nash? He's a Nobel laureate. He was granted a Nobel Prize. For what? For game theory. How many of you have heard of game theory? What does he propose? Very simple. He says, look, let's say I found a huge diamond and I want to go out in the market and sell this diamond. And I found a buyer for this diamond. Now, I know that this diamond is worth, let's say, $25 million. Now, I strike a deal with him that, okay, $25 million. I give you the diamond, you give me the money. So what do? We decide a particular time and a place, and we decide to meet up there. I hand over the diamond to him. He hands over the money to me. However, there is a probability that he might cheat me up. When I show up with the diamond, he might show up with his goons, beat me up, take up my diamond, and take, or his money is with him. He's going to take my diamond, leave me there, and go away. So now, this guy will have the money and the diamond. So there's a probability that he might cheat me. So what do? Let's come up with a solution. What's the solution? Solution is, I go and meet him. He comes to meet me. I tell him that, look, I'm not going to carry the diamond with me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to carry an envelope with me. And this envelope will have an address written in it. And this is where I have kept the diamond. And you bring your address to me. You give me the address. I go pick up the money. I pick up the dollars there. And you go pick up the diamond. Deal. And that way we're both safe. I don't beat you up. You don't beat me. I go there. I get my money. You get your diamond. Fair enough? Fair enough. However, I could be really true and genuine and write the correct address of the diamond, give it to him, and he might give me a wrong address. And I end up going there and find no money there. Therefore, there is a probability that he might cheat me. So, why not I cheat him in the first place? Even if he is being genuine. That way, I know for sure that I will not be cheated. And even if things don't work out right, either I'll at least have the diamond with me or I'll get my money. But I will not end up losing. And then comes the most devastating statement. What's that statement? He says, if every individual in the society follows this pattern that before he cheats me, I should cheat him, everybody will be cautious towards each other and society will reach an equilibrium where there will be no cheating. While everybody is trying to cheat everybody else. What does Holy Quran say? What does Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam say? There, in relation to mu'mineen, trust your brother with amanat. Have faith in him. Treat him like your brother. Now you might think that, okay, game theory, fair enough. He proposed something. It sounds, you know, okay, but who's following it? Who's following it? Is anyone following game theory? Is anyone following game theory? Of course, yes. The game theory is in action right now. Iraq, they might have WMDs. And there is a probability that they might attack us. And we will see a mushroom cloud. So why not attack them firsthand? So I am suspecting WMDs, a mushroom cloud. Let me just go attack them. Let me just attack Afghanistan. Let me attack Yemen. I think he is going to attack. Therefore attack him. I think he's going to cheat. Therefore cheat him. Right in the first place. Even though I don't have absolute evidence about it. But I make up false evidences. This is system of zulumat, brothers and sisters. You need to understand the system of zulumat in the deeper sense. And somewhere try and see how much of it am I following in my life? How much am I following the system of Noor? Where am I faltering? Though I am claiming to follow the system of Noor, am I actually following it? Or am I following the ideology of Adam Smith, John Nash, and 100 others out there. Therefore, it's very, very important to clearly identify the system of Noor and system of Zulumat. Please recite the Salawat. So, now, so far we've just discussed the basics about it, the system of Nurin. Now, let's talk about those who think that I don't have to really follow everything from the system of Noor. Why am I calling it system of Noor? I can call it Islam, I can call it Quran, I can call it Hadith. But no, I'm calling it system of Noor so that it becomes very clear that there's only two systems out there. One is Noor and one is Zulumat. So if I say I'm following part of it, then you're following the rest of it from the other side. You have a glass with you. Either you fill it completely with something pure, and if you leave it empty, then Zulumat is going to take over. So I have a glass which is half filled with Noor. Wherever there's absence of Noor, it is Zulumat. You must have studied philosophy. It clearly says the absence of goodness is evil. The definition for Shar is the absence of goodness is evil. Right? So if this absence of Noor is existence of Zulumat. So if someone says that I'm أَفَتْؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْزِ الْكِتَابِ, this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out towards mu'mineen, not mushrikeen, not kuffar. He's addressing us, the mu'mineen. Are you the kind of person who wants to follow part of the system of Noor? What's wrong with you? When it's so clear that this is Noor, how can you choose part of it and leave part of it? Right? So it is important for us to understand that the system of Noor and system of Zulumat are two parallel lines. Please understand this very clearly. System of Noor and system of Zulumat are two parallel lines. They do not intersect. Well, how does that matter? Whether they intersect or not, how does it matter? It matters. Why? Because if I am treading the path of system of Noor, I am going to end up at the destination of system of Noor. And if I'm treading the path of system of Zulumat, I'm going to end up at the destination of system of Zulumat. Meaning, Zulumat will take you to hellfire and Noor is going to take you to heaven. I cannot hope that I'm partly walking on the parallel lines, which is on the other side system of Zulumat, and I'll end up in heaven. That is not going to happen. I need to look at my life. If I am partly following system of Zulumat in my worldview and ideology and hoping to end up in heaven is being naive. It's ignorance. They are parallel lines. They don't cross each other. Let me put it in a more simple and more clear terms. Shajaratu tayyiba wa shajare khabisa. When I talk about shajare tayyiba, the fruits that I get from this shajar are pure. And shajare khabisa, the fruits that I get from this shajar are khabis. They are not pure. There's no purity in it. Now, I can't expect to hang around the shajare khabis and get pure fruits from there. The only outcome you can get from shajare khabisa is khabis. There is no question about it. And the outcome I get from shajare tayyiba is pure. There is no question about it. So I can't say, look, I'm going to stand halfway through and you know every time the fruit falls, I'm going to pick from here and pick from there. That's not how it's going to work. You know why? Because they are too far apart. Too far apart that you can't stand in the middle and hope to. You will not get either of them. You will not get either of them. And that's why I again repeat, have to be super duper clear What is system of Noor? Who is system of Noor? Who are working towards Noor? And who are working towards Zulama? And what kind of worldview am I following? What kind of life am I living? My way of life, is it Noor or Zulamat? This has to become clear for us. Especially for us, those who are living here in this Muqaddas Qom. Particularly us who have become Taliban. Our problem is that we grew up there, out there. And right from our schooling, we were conditioned. Conditioning of the subconscious mind. We were conditioned to accept materialistic worldview. To grow in system of Zulamat. To accept Zulamat as right. And with that 20, 25, 30 years of conditioning, when we come here and become Talibay, it's not easy to uncondition our ideology, uncondition our worldview, and in a month or 2 months or 6 months or couple of years, we immediately switch the tracks and move on to system of Noor. That's not how it works. 30 years of conditioning does not fade away in couple of months or couple of years. We need to work hard for it. Have to constantly remind ourselves, have to constantly train ourselves, have to constantly question ourselves. What am I doing? Where am I? Which path am I following? Where is Noor? Where is Zulamat? Am I being deceived that I'm on the system of Noor, I'm following the path of Noor while I'm treading the path of Zulamat? Extremely important, especially for us. And some people think that, oh, you're making a big deal about this, you know, this is, you know, just blowing it out of proportion. There's nothing wrong. What's wrong with me following Islam and some part of that? What's wrong with that? We call it Jahan Biniye Iltiqati. Khalt Shude. Makhloot Shude. So there's a mix up here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Khudh yunfid dunya wal akhirah. If you're among those who are going to follow part of the book and ignore the part of the book, the other part of it, yakfuruna bi ma'az, there's nothing for you but khizyun fi dunya wal akhirah. So we're going to lose. We left all those, you know, good jobs and high paying jobs and all those dollars and all those, you know, fancy stuff, came here hoping to tread the path of Noor, and with this iltiqati, we'll end up losing that and the Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, when everything is going to be calculated, they're going to say, brother, I'm sorry. Iltaqati budid. You mixed up. You went wrong. We can't help you. And then we're like, look, I left so much. I let go of that. I'm living here, gharibe, and my parents and family living here alone, going through all the struggle. Yeah, all that is right. But the rewards are going to be so far less than what those have earned who maintained their path on system of Noor. So iltiqati is not going to yield results. Some of us feel that, no, what's wrong? We can go here and there, but that's not how it works. All right, please recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad wa ajil farajah. So please remember, this segment is particularly for Tullabia. Please remember, if you've left all that you had back there and you're here, that means you chose something. You chose something. And you decided to let go of something else. Right? And don't think that I have chosen it. Rather, I should tell you, we were cherry-picked. We were cherry-picked by the Imam of our time. He said, I see some potential in you. Let me bring you here. Put you through training. Put you through some tests, and that will decide how good are you to serve my purpose. Don't think I chose the path. Don't think I had the courage to leave everything back there and come here. Well, where did we get that courage? the confidence that, oh, okay, let me leave all this and come here. Who guided me? Myself? No, I am jahil. I'm ignorant. I don't have that capacity. It's the Imam of the time who picked me, said, come, I see some potential in you. But you have to go through the rigorous training. You have to go through the rigorous protocols. I don't know if this is going to be on internet or not, but let me tell this to you. If you are here and you are in the Hausa system, know this for sure, that you are the soldier of Imam Zamana Jalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Please recite the salawat. And if you are a soldier, that means you're part of the army. And tell me, where in the world, even the lousiest country in the world, where do they treat leniently with their armies? They put you through the most rigorous trainings, climbing the toughest obstacles, staying hungry, going through difficult times, getting shot in hand and foot, getting limbs severed. That's what army is all about. And if we think I'm here in the army of the Imam and I'm like, okay, everything's going to be hunky-dory here, that's not how it works. Misconception. Some people feel, look, I've joined the ranks of Imam. I'm on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now all the troubles are gone. Why? Because I'm with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why would he trouble me? Now why will he do sakhti upon me? Why will he put me through tests? I'm already on his side. But that's not how the system works. Brothers and sisters, think logically. Even the education system doesn't work that way. When your teacher spots you and sees some potential in you, does your teacher give you more challenging questions or the more lenient ones? They give you more challenging questions. Why? So that there's rushd. So that you move towards kamal. So that you reach the epoch of being that excellent person. You get prepared for the next level of challenges. And how can I think that I come here, be part of the system of pure noor, be part of the system of army of Imam Zamana Jalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, and everything's going to be hunky-dory and easy for me? If, brothers and sisters, mu'min means challenges and difficulties. If a week passes and there are no challenges in your life, get worried that, have I done something that Imam is upset with me and has left me upon myself? That you're no more among us. Challenges is part of life of Talibin. So being here, being part of the system, means, you know, being treated with special attention. Special attention means special challenges. If you look at our Anbiya alayhi salam, please recite us a lot. If you look at our Anbiya alayhi salam, every Anbiya who has progressed into levels was put through the most challenging and difficult tests. And every Payambar, every prophet who successfully cleared the test went a level higher. Janab Ibrahim, we will first make you prophet, then we will make you messenger, then we will make you Imam of the Ummah. Why? Because you have cleared these tests. Which test? First test, no child for you. Second test, we give you child after 100 years. Third test, go sacrifice your child. Ya Allah, I got a child after 100 years. You want me to sacrifice it? This is your test. Okay, Bismillah. Done, cleared the test. Yes, Alhamdulillah. says, then go leave your son in the middle of the desert. Thank you. So please recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad ajil
faraj. Go leave your family in the middle of the desert. And that is when we will increase your status from being a prophet to a messenger to the imam of the ummah. You don't get these status just like that. So everybody has to go through test, and the more you pass through the test, the better you get. The higher you climb in the system of Noor. Take example of Qasim Soleimani. The hardships he went through, staying away from the family, traveling in different parts of the deserted areas, deserted jungles and mountains, defending Islam, defending Mu'mineen, defending the namus of Mu'mineen, not worrying about his life, being threatened every single minute by the superpowers that you will be assassinated, you will be bombed, you will be killed. But those who are on the right path, they do not have fear in their hearts. He knew he's on the right path. He knew he's following the system of Noor. So there was no fear in his heart. He treaded the path. He knew that this is going to end like this. He knew it's going to end like this. It didn't come to him as a surprise. And he still treaded this path. So brothers and sisters, we are the Warisul Anbiya. Warisul Anbiya. Virasat of what? What are we getting as heirs from Anbiya alayhi salam? The marifat, the ilm? No. Again, it's a whole package. The marifat, the ilm, the iman, the amal and ita'at, the hub. Walladhina amanu ashaddu hubban lillah. So those who have faith, they have, so the hub, this is what we're getting from our prophets in heirs, having that utmost love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the imam of our time, willing to sacrifice. Where do we see ashaddu hubban lillah? Come to the battlefield of Karbala. There you see ashaddu hubban lillah. There you see the system of Noor and system of Zulamat. The most challenging times, the most difficult tests for a person to go through in one day. Ashab getting martyred. Then the turn of Bani Hashim. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, those who are following this path of Noor and they are the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, they are the lovers of Imam, then they truly follow the Imam. I remember reading this will of one of the martyrs, one of the shaheed. He wrote to his mother as a will. What did he write? He said, "Mother, when I am martyred, please follow these three things for me. One, do not cry in the gathering. When people gather at our house to give you condolences, don't cry in front of them. Why? Because when they see you crying for your son, they might get demotivated to send their children to the battlefield. So don't cry in front of them. Be brave heart, be strong in front of them so that they have the courage to send their children to the battlefield. Mother, I have a second will, second request. What is it? Do not allow ladies with poor hijab in the gatherings of my marasim. If you're doing Khatme Quran for me, if you're doing any majalis for me, do not allow. Why? Because I remember in Karbala, Bibi Zainab was subjected to this tyranny. Her rida was taken away. How can I witness someone who is in poor hijab to come and attend the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam while Bibi Zainab is crying for her rida? So mother, don't do this. Third will, What is the third point? The third point he mentioned is, do not bury me for 3 days. Don't bury me for 3 days. Why, son? Why not bury you for 3 days? Because, mother, my Imam's body was left on the plains of Karbala for 3 days under the sun. How can my Imam be on the plains of Karbala for 3 days under the sun and my body be given the leisure of being buried right on day one? So, mother, don't bury my body for 3 days. This is the true hope of Imam. And which Imam who followed the system of Noor in the battlefield of Karbala went through the most challenging task? All the Ashab are martyred. Then comes the Bani Hashim, his son, 18-year-old son, is martyred right in front of him. Then Janab Abbas, then all of them, Janab Qasim. And finally comes the moment of the most challenging test Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to take. Carries his 6-month-old baby to the battlefield, asks for water, and what does Zalim do? Instead of giving few drops of water, shoots a 3-headed arrow and severs the head of Janab Asghar alayhi salam. And what does Imam Hussein say? Imam Hussein says, oh Allah, this is extremely difficult for me. This is extremely difficult for me. But just because I know you're watching me, my heart is at peace. Rizan bi qaza'ihi wa tasliman li amri. Oh Allah, you subjected me to the most challenging task. Oh Allah, you subjected me to the most difficult ones. I saw the bodies of my dear ones. I saw the trampled body of my nephew. I saw the body of Abba and his hands are severed. I pierced with an arrow, mushk torn apart, water spilled on the ground. Sakina standing at the door of the camps and crying for his amu. I have seen Akbar, Irba, his body cut into pieces, who was the closest to the Prophet. I saw him being attacked from all directions, his heart being pierced. However, oh Allah, risen bi qaza'ihi wa tasliman li amri. I submit to your will. I submit to your decision. I submit to your destiny. And this is what it is, brothers and sisters. Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimin. Oh Allah. This is what it is, brothers and sisters. Understand the system of Noor and understand the system of Zulumat. If you're on the system of Noor, it doesn't matter what challenges befall upon us. We always say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Rizan bi qaza'ihi wa tasliman li amrih. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.